Welcome to The Word Made Plain with Senior Pastor Tony Clark of Calvary Chapel Newport News in Virginia. Currently, Pastor Tony is teaching a study in the book of Deuteronomy. Please open your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 13 through 18.
And so before we even get into the word, let us just bow our heads and just let our request be made known to God. We've already entered in through thanksgiving. And now we're going to let our request be made known to God. And Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you. Lord, I pray that you hear the request of your people. Lord, hear the things that are on their heart. Hear the things that they have been calling upon you for many weeks and many years, Lord. I pray, God, that you will move on their hearts. Give them a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, as you hear their prayers concerning a wayward child, a teenager that's gone astray, a spouse that no longer wants anything to do with God, a relative that is on their sickbed, Lord, the test that came back positive. Lord, I pray that you hear their prayers now. These are your children. These are your people calling upon a God that we know that hears and understands and sees what's going on. And so, Lord, I just pray, hear our prayers. Hear our prayers as a church, Lord, for the Eustis campus. And all the finances needed to build that new campus out. Lord, we're looking forward to seeing lives changed, lives touched, as we watch you fill that place up with hungry souls for you. And Lord, as your word says that they filled the house where you were and you, where they didn't even have room anymore and you taught them the word. I pray, God, as you continue to fill this place and fill the Eustis campus, Lord, to where there's no more room by the doors, I pray that you would anoint me to teach them the word of God. And so, Lord, now as we come before your word now, we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us and guide us into all truth. Thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's good to know we serve that kind of God. Amen. Let's dive in. Turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 9. And we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 18. And God's will, next week, we will wrap up this chapter. I believe there are some things God wants to speak to us about. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, looking at verses 13 through 18, the title of this message is The Ultimate Test, Part 1. The Ultimate Test, Part 1. Deuteronomy 9, verses 13 through 18. Now, what comes to mind when you think of the ultimate test? For us in the Midwest where I grew up, we had the SAT test. That was a test to get you into school. What do they have down there? The ACT? What's down here in the South? Is it still SAT? All right, because I'm old. It's been a long time since I even saw such a test. But for many people, that was the ultimate test. Well, maybe for some of you who are here, especially for those of you who are in the military, the test for the next rank is the ultimate test for you. Or maybe it's the certification test to receive your license in your field of study. I believe these verses we are studying here are very key verses. Moses is being reminded of the ultimate test. He's rehearsing in the Israelites' mind their history. And as he's rehearsing that history, he's going to begin to show them and talk about the test that he went through. He's not going to describe it as a test. I look at it as the ultimate test in Moses' life. This was a key test. This test will make or break him as far as him being used by the Lord to take these people where God wanted them to go. Now, to give you the background, now Moses is reminding Israel once again of their history up until this point. He told them how their parents were afraid of the descendants of Anakim. You remember the Anakim were the giants. He told them this in verse 2. Moses reminded them of how God will go before them and destroy these giants in verse 3. Then Moses said in verse 4, do not think that God did this for you because you were just, oh, so righteous. He said, no, just the opposite. It was because of the wickedness of these nations. Then Moses goes on to tell them in verse 6 that God said that they were a stiff-necked people. Then Moses told them how God gave him the Ten Commandments to give to them in verses 9 through 11. And then in verse 12, he reminded them how they quickly turned away from the commandments and acted corruptly. Now, in these verses and through the rest of the chapter, we will see the ultimate test. I see it as the ultimate test God gave to Moses. The question is, did Moses pass this test? Oh, we will see. Look at verses 13 and 14. It says, furthermore, the Lord spoke to me saying, I have seen this people and indeed they are a stiff-necked people. Let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they. Now, in these verses, we see the ultimate test revealed. But I want to draw something to your attention to what is said in verse 13. God told Moses, notice, I have seen this people. And indeed, they are a stiff-necked people. Notice God said, I have seen this people. This means that God is watching. We see that God is watching. He sees the wickedness that's going on in the world. He sees the wickedness. You remember, he saw the wickedness of the people during the days of the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. It said that God went down and saw their wickedness, and it was truly wickedness. It said their wickedness went up to heaven. God said, I saw the wickedness. And God sees when we are being stiff-necked as well. God sees it. He sees how wicked the world is. God is watching. God told Moses in the beginning of his ministry in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, Moses, tell my people that I have seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. God is watching. God, who made the eye, is not blind to what is going on in the world or in our lives individually. He sees what is going on in your marriage, on your job, and in your family. He sees when we are stiff-necked toward his commandments as well. God is watching. I really believe that we would not have to teach a whole lot about holiness if we truly believe that God is watching. If we really believe that God is watching when we're driving on the road and the things we're saying to those horrible drivers out there, use no turn signal and stopping and just turning or cutting in front of you or coming out in front of you doing 2 miles per hour. And the things that you say to them, God is watching. He's watching. I can really get in the flesh on the road. I just don't get some folks. Sometimes I'm just like, oh, you're turning left. Oh. I don't know why that gets to me so badly. I don't know why. I'm like, Lord, why does that bother me so much? I'm hot out there. Just, I can't believe some drivers. God is watching though. And God had to tell me, just calm down. Calm down. Chill, dude. Then the Lord told Moses, in verse 14, notice what he said. Let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. Wow. I want to bring to your attention the phrase, "let me alone." It seems to imply that Moses was constantly praying to God for the people and for him to be merciful towards them and forgive them. And God is saying, "Moses, leave me alone. Stop asking me to forgive these people. They are a stiff-necked people. Let me alone so that I can destroy them." And here is the ultimate test. "And I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they." That's the test. Or we may not see it as that, but watch this. That is the test. This is a huge test for Moses because this was bringing out the true motives of his heart and why he was doing what he was doing. If there was any pride in Moses' heart, he would have taken God up on his offer and thus disqualified himself for ministry. God could have used Moses. God couldn't use Moses anymore, should I say, if he started to think more highly of himself than he ought to, like Romans 12:3 tells us. The conversation would have gone a little like this. "Yes, God," Moses would say, "I deserve a greater and mightier nation than these stiff-necked people." I agree with you, God. They're stiff-necked. They're disobedient. They're constantly whining and complaining. "Yes, God, I agree with you. Wipe them out. I take you up on your offer." If this was in the heart of Moses, he would have failed the test and God would have put him on the shelf and raised someone else up to take his people. This was huge. And all of us, We will all have to face our ultimate test by God. The purpose is to bring out to us. God already sees what's in our heart. We will seem to kind of deceive ourselves in thinking something else is in there. And God will use the ultimate test to show us what is in our hearts. God knows what's there and what is truly in our hearts. Like pride, ambition, self-centeredness. God will bring all of that mess out with the test. And the test is to show us. It's just like when you go to school, the test isn't to show the teacher anything. The test is to show you where you are because you think you got it going on in school. And that test shows you, you don't have it going on. You done missed 10 questions and it was only 11. It's just what it is. So the test was to show you where you were. So here's the thing. The ultimate test is to show us what's in our hearts, whether there's pride there, ambition, self-centeredness. The test will bring all of that out. Your test may look something like this. Or my test. "Let me alone, Tony. I've seen that those people at Calvary Chapel Newport News are a stiff-necked, hot mess group of people. Let me move you over to this church that is bigger and greater than CCNN. Oh, yours may look like this. Let me alone. Put your name there. I have seen that your husband or wife is a stiff-necked person. Let me destroy them and give you a spouse who will love you, who will come to church and treat you like you deserve to be treated. Or let me alone. Put your name there. I see that your children, especially your teenagers, are a stiff-necked people. Let me destroy them and give you some children who will follow you in the ministry or who will follow the Lord and be obedient to the commands of God and be obedient to the rules of the house." Now, see, all of us will face our own ultimate test, but how would you handle it? Would you say, "Oh, yes, Lord, I do deserve a better spouse, children, and definitely a bigger church"? The problem is when we think, don't miss this, we deserve these things. We're on our way to falling hard when we think we deserve something. We don't deserve anything but God's wrath and hell itself. When we begin to think that we deserve anything, God will come along with the ultimate test that will bring these wicked, impure thoughts to the surface. Oh, the question is, how did Moses handle his ultimate test? Look at verses 15 through 18. It says, so I turned and came down from the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire, and the two tablets of the covenant were in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, and you had sinned against the Lord your God, had made for yourself a molten calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord had commanded you. Then I took the two tablets and threw them out of my two hands and broke them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you committed in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Wow. In these verses, we see that Moses passed his ultimate test. He told them in verse 15 that he came down the mountain with the Ten Commandments in his hands, and he saw in verse 16 that the people had truly sinned against the Lord and made a golden calf, and how they quickly turned aside from the commandments the Lord gave them. Then in verse 17, Moses said that he took the Ten Commandments and threw them and broke them before their eyes. You know, it's been asked several times, who is the most wicked person who has ever lived? Many people said Judas, some Ahab, some who are not as biblically sharp, Hitler, you know, Jezebel, King Manasseh, some scholars would try to say. No, it was Moses, because this verse says that he broke all of the commandments of the Lord. Yeah, that was a little funny. Yeah. However, if we're truly honest with ourselves, we are the most wicked person, because we have broken all of God's commandments too. And when we look at the spirit of the Ten Commandments, we have broken all of them, which proves why we need a Savior. And I'm going to just kind of give a summary of the Ten Commandments. And I'm doing that because there are some of you who are real spiritual, and you think you're super holy. And as I give a summary of these commandments, it's to bring you down a peg or two and show you that, yeah, you've sinned. You've sinned, and you've broken all the commandments too, right along with the rest of us sinners. Because see, you think you're really going on. So I'm to bring you down a peg or two with these commandments. Now, the first commandment says we shall have no other God before him, which means that God is to be first. How many times have God not been first in our lives? How many times have we woken up in the morning and gone on with our day without acknowledging God one time until we got some food in front of us? Then we go, oh, Lord, bless this food. Are we kidding? How many times God has not been first in our lives? Oh, the second commandment says no idols. An idol is anything that we place before God. How many times have we placed things or people in front of our relationship with God? We've broken that one too. The third commandment said no blasphemy. Don't blaspheme. That means to take the name that is above every name and bring it down to a level to describe your disgust, your frustration, or your anger. How many times have we done that? Oh, and many of you have gotten cute. Today, this is today's time. We've gotten cute. So we won't use the Lord's name in vain. We'll just say OMG. As if God doesn't understand acronyms. that he gives us a pass when we use an acronym. It blows me away that we take the name that is above every name and bring it down to a level to describe our anger, our frustration. The Bible said, don't do that. The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath, which means that at least one day a week we set aside to come together collectively to worship God in spirit and in truth. However, how many times have we violated this commandment for some sporting event for our children or for vacation? We think vacation is backsliding time because we don't go to church on vacation. We're on vacation. Or some holidays when the family come around. Family comes around means no church. Because we got some family don't kind of go to church, so we don't want to offend them by going to church. They came to see us and we leave to go to church. That wouldn't be... The devil's a liar. They come see me, they know we do church. And on top of that, we happen to be a kind of church that hour 5, hour 10 minutes, you back at the house. They still haven't gotten out of bed yet. But for some reason, when holidays come or vacation, we think that's a break even for church and for God. And we violated this commandment. How many times have we violated it? The fifth commandment says, honor your parents. Honor means to obey and respect. How many of you have disobeyed or not honored a parent who walked out on the family or wasn't there? Even come to the point where I've seen some family members, because another family member who is a father was not into his life, he cursing at him now, using profanity. I'm like, are you kidding me? The Bible says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord our God has given you. There's a promise that comes along with honoring your parents. And we wonder why many young people are dying young. Don't wonder. Because God says, when you do it, your days will be long upon the land which the Lord has given you. There's a promise. And there's a lot of dishonoring dishonoring parents. Well, you don't know what my parent did. Take that up with God. God said, you do your part. And many people have violated this and feel justified in violating this and wonder why they're not living long. Wonder why every time we look up in the news or read online or something, some young people being gunned down for something crazy. I guarantee you, you can search it back. Something dealing with dishonoring parents. There's something about parents. God said, don't you fool with them. You better honor them. You better respect them. If you don't, just know you're cutting your life short. I didn't make this up. I'm just the messenger. I didn't make this up. And how many times did we violate that? The sixth commandment says, do not murder. Jesus took it a step further and said, anger is at the root of murder. How many times have we murdered people with our anger? The seventh commandment says, no adultery. Do we even have to go into this? Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, if you look upon a person with lust in your heart, you committed adultery with them already. And with the pornography industry making over $13 billion a year. Do I have to say people are violating this? $13 billion a year. Within a few years, really, to be honest with you, within a few years, the porn industry can clear the national deficit that we have. It can clear it up. Just with the porn industry. So do I have to say how many times that we violated this? The eighth commandment says, do not steal. That means to take something that doesn't belong to you. So, do I have to go into that? This includes stealing the credit that belongs to someone else, not returning the extra change that the grocer accidentally gave you that you're calling the blessings of the Lord. That's not a blessing. You stole it. All because, the kids today are they're not real smart. So, they don't know how to count. They don't know what money is because everybody's using cars today. So how much owe you? Oh. And you went there and bought some milk. You gave them $20. They giving you $50 back. And you, And you, oh, God has blessed me. God didn't bless you. You stole it.
If the Word Made Plain has been a source of inspiration and encouragement to you, why not consider becoming a Word Made Plain giving partner to keep this listener-supported program on the air? As a giving partner, you join forces with Calvary Chapel Newport News' kingdom vision of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can make your tax-deductible gift online at calvarynn.org or send your gift of any amount to 15553 Warwick Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia 23608, and receive a gift from Calvary Chapel Newport News as our thank you. In addition to your financial support, we ask that you pray for the Word Made Plain broadcast, that it touches hearts and generates change in the lives of people around the world. We pray you've been blessed by God's Word today and hope you'll tune in next time to hear the Word Made Plain.